Father, we thank you for the word, for faith comes by hearing the word. And Lord, I pray that we will hear what you would have us to hear. For Lord, we are living in times where there is a famine in the land, and that is of hearing the word of God. But Lord, we are blessed to have your word and to be able to hear your word and to walk by faith. So we desire that this time glorifies your name in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as usual, I have a title here for us to consider today. And we're calling this teaching, Your Soul and Mind Needs God's Rest. Your soul and mind needs God's rest. One of the characteristics of the great falling away that we are seeing and experiencing now is a complete unrest. There is so much unrest in the world, strife, war, arguments, you name it, is going on. And God has called us to walk by faith, and that we should have our rest in God. How can this be achieved when life is so complex, when we meet the various trials each day? Our homes, our families, our jobs, everything in this life tries to rob us from that rest that we have with God. Well, this is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. You see, God is outside all of these things that we battle and overcome. He's greater than all those things. And one of the characteristics through the new birth is that peace to our mind and heart and spirit. They are one of the clear signs that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are a new creation made from above, and we identify with Christ's death through the blood of the Lamb. It is redemption. And without redemption, you will not have that peace of mind and heart. And one of the biggest problems to a Christian is this unrest, this striving. That is why we're to walk by faith, because faith enables us to rest and trust God, even though the circumstances may be contrary, even though what we see or what we hear will be totally against what God says and what he's promised in his word. Our faith brings us into this rest that is essential. This is how Christ walked every day, and in his ministry, he was at complete rest, union, oneness with his Father. And he maintained that. We get clues to this where he had his prayer life, sometimes praying through the night and so on. All of this was his union with his Father. And we likewise have to walk in the same manner. This unrest, this striving, often plagues churches. You see, as I've said so often, many Christians equate spirituality with busyness. I must be busy for God, working for God. And they've got it all wrong. Because as we know, that many busy Christians are the least spiritual. They don't really have a relationship, a standing with God, because they're too busy doing religious works. God has never saved us for busyness. He has saved us to have a standing and a relationship with him in his presence and to know his presence with us 24/7. That is what our salvation is about. And this is never taught as it should be in the house of God, that our salvation is a stand before God in covenant relationship. That is what relationship is about. It is about covenant, two walking together in agreement, the same as in marriage or ministry or whatever it is, the same as our fellowship. That Greek word koinonia, which means that we come in unity of spirit, in oneness. And all of this, of course, can be only worked by the Holy Spirit, as Christ is head over us. So he ministers this to us. And the very fact that we are addressing this today is an indication that God wants to do a further work with us where we can maintain with our soul and mind this rest that we have with God. Some of the problems that you battle with your mind is because you are not at rest with God. And that is why a lot of Christians battle with the mind. The mind is all over the place when we're told to have the mind of Christ, to cast down those thoughts, imaginations, and evil things at war against the mind. There are doors to the mind that have to be open because we know behind every door is a demon that oppresses, that attacks. And so part of our salvation, our deliverance, is this closing doors to the mind. But you've got to first have this rest with God, not this striving. You cannot get the mind of Christ in an environment where there is strife. This is why God won't have strife in the house of God. God will deal with those things that try to hinder our rest, our unity, our fellowship with each other and with God. He will deal with that. And sadly, churches, we've had it in this assembly where the enemy works through people to cause strife, often through the tongue, gossip, criticizing, lies, all to try and break this unity and oneness, attacking this rest, this peace that we have. The enemy isn't stupid. Wish to God more Christians realize that your rest to your soul and mind is very much instrumental to your faith and your believing. Why does the enemy do this? Why does he work strife in the way that he does, or he tries to keep us out of the presence of God with busyness? Because he knows that we are emotional beings and he plays on the emotions. That's why. And that's why you find Christians are moved emotionally, and not by faith and by their knowledge and understanding of the word of God. And that's why they're open to deception and doctrines of demons, because it's the emotions they want touched. This is why people turn to alcohol, to drugs. They want to feel peace. They're trying to create that peace in their mind. But of course, we know it's a downward slope. And the enemy's very much at work at that, because we are emotional beings. We have feelings, we have senses, but all of that has to be tempered and worked on by the Holy Spirit. This is why we have the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, gentleness, and so on, all of which we can draw this by the Spirit. But of course, all of these things take time because we're all in a walk and we're like the clay and the potter on that wheel as he's moulding and perfecting a vessel of honour for his glory. Well, let's turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, and we'll look at verses 9 to 13. Isaiah 28 and verses 9 to 13. 13. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So what is God doing here? Well, of course, he's addressing drunkards. They're getting drunk, the priesthood and so forth. And how he's addressing Ephraim and Jerusalem. But he's taking it further than that. He's showing that drink, alcohol, drugs does not bring you into this rest. And he speaks about where he feeds them with milk. The milk of the word. And how the word builds in a life. Precept must upon precept, precept upon precept, building. In other words, these are building blocks. Your life, my life, is a building block. And each time we come together, like we're doing today, in fellowship, there's a building, a work going on, because we're told in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing the word. And with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing that they would not hear. It's very sad, isn't it, when a lot of Christians really just don't hear. It doesn't grab them. They're not desperate for the word. You see, busy people who are not finding that rest as they should, you will find they're not desperate, pressing in. Taking the kingdom, if need be, by force. There's a complacency there. You see, God creates in us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And it means, in other words, we can't get enough. It reminds me sometimes of in spring when chicks are born. And you notice the birds, they are all the while backwards and forwards, trying to feed these hungry mouths. And all you see them in the nest, and all you can see is just a beak wide open. And they're backwards and forwards all the time feeding these birds because they're growing, they're hungry. And a mother and father know their job. They know what they're doing. They're not complaining. They just feed them because they're hungry. And it's the same here. Wish to God more Christians were hungry for the word of God to be fed. So many are just happy with the milk of the word, but we're told we can go on to the solids, where it speaks of maturity and growing up in the faith. Too many babies in the house of God, and it's time to grow. God wants sons and daughters of God to walk with him in relationship. And that requires that rest in the heart, mind and soul, you see. Jesus promised this rest in his teaching and ministry. And if we turn to Matthew 11, you know this very well, Matthew 11 and verse 28, 29, Matthew 11, 28, 29, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's just break this down again. I know I've taught on this many times. What is the first thing he says? Come to me. Isn't it strange that very often in our trials or tests or whatever we meet during the day or whatever it is, it's the last thing we do is turn to him. And yet that's precisely what he says. We're to turn away or just go into another room or where you can find a spot or whatever it would be. Just turn to him and communicate. And he says, "Come to me, all who labor, are heavy laden. I will give you that rest, clarity of mind and heart and soul." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you." So you're sharing with him. He's taking the load, helping you. Because he says, "I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart, I'm not harsh, I'm not turning you away, but I'm asking you, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest in trials, testings, whatever we go through, even though the turmoil is going around outside you, in the center of the storm is that stillness. That's what he's saying. For what? So that you are in fellowship, in communication with him. That's why. To maintain that rest for your soul and mind, which the enemy wants to rob you of. And this is why God will sometimes allow us to go through trials and tests, because he's teaching us this. And then you find in the trials and the tests, yes, they're going on, but you are not affected by them, where you lose your faith, you lose your sight of Christ. The trials take your eyes off the Lord. That's not what they're for. Every trial you go through, God has allowed this to happen. He wouldn't let it happen because there's something he wants you to learn in the trials and tests that you go through, that in it you still keep your eyes upon him. Now, how he does that, don't try and work it out. It's miraculous. But he does. And he says on the basis, come, don't run away. Because we do it. Sometimes we're not aware we're doing it. Sometimes he's the last person we turn to in a situation when he should be the very first we always turn to for the purpose of fellowship, rest of the mind and heart and spirit and so on. You see? We also know that rest for our bodies physically is essential. This is why we go to bed, we sleep. And we ask God that he will bless our sleep, because we need a certain amount of hours in which to restore us, to refresh us mentally and psychologically. We know that when God created, on the seventh day, he rested. And he looked upon that which he created. So we enter now into that rest by faith, because we walk by faith. And we get an indication of this in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. You know this very well, but we'll look at it again. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Of where the Spirit, through Christ now, seated at the right hand, now you have fellowship and are standing with him, you walk by faith, you now have this rest 24/7. And not just resting on the seventh day. It's every day. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith to those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's all, those verses is all about hearing. How are you hearing? We hear by faith. That's how we hear. Everything we face in this life comes by our hearing, our reading this word. Our provisions come by hearing, reading this word. Our healing comes by reading, hearing this word. Everything is there for all our needs. That's why he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God has not called us to strive. He's not called us to be busy, 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 but to put first his kingdom. Relationship, in other words. And here he uses where he created, and on the seventh day he rested. He reveals that Israel, through rebellion, unbelief, never entered into the rest of the promised land that was promised for them. So there's still that rest, because God hasn't changed. And so that rest is found now in Jesus Christ, in relationship, in oneness, identification with him. He is our rest. He is our peace. That's why we read back in Matthew 11, he says, come to me. You're losing that peace. And I will give you rest, peace. So that you don't strive, You don't take your eyes off me or off the word of God, because that's what the devil wants to try and do, you see? And when your eyes come away from the Lord and away from the word, strife starts, a lack of peace. Your mind is in a turmoil all over the place. You know what I'm saying, because you've gone through it. You've been tested in it. This hardening that he spoke of here in what we read in Hebrews 4, 1 to 7, and with Israel, it means that they were obstinate, they were stubborn. That was the problem. We know this because they wanted to stone Moses and raise up another leader. They actually said, "We've seen God, we know what he can do. We've seen the miracles, but we want to go back to Egypt. We were happier there. We're not happy in this environment, walking in the wilderness." And God gave them up. He gave them exactly what they wanted. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't start confessing that. We start looking back into the world. Well, I was happier there than what I'm doing now. That is only temporary. What you're lacking is not about happiness, joy, whatever it is. What you're wanting is that rest for your soul, your mind. That is really what you need. This is why God calls us away from the world. He separates us so that we can walk this walk by the Spirit and experience this peace to our mind and soul and being. You know, I don't know about you, but there are times I see people, sometimes you talk with them, they can be in your family, where there's no peace in their life, in their heart, striving, turmoil. And it just makes you realize how blessed you are, what God has done in your life and in your heart. How essential it is for us, particularly now, as we walk this walk and with what is going on and the utter confusion and turmoil. How we have to test everything now. You can't believe most things that you hear now. Everything has to be tested and tried, and we have to wait on God. And all of this just creates a fear and confusion in society, a turmoil. They don't know who to turn to. These are all the conditions that the enemy is working, so that when Antichrist finally comes on the scene, they're all going to flock to him and follow him and adore him and say, "At last, we've got answers. We're so confused. We don't know who to believe. We can't believe our politicians anymore," and whatever it would be. "Can't believe most of the news that you hear. You read, all lies." This is why the enemy's using AI now, for this very purpose, so that when he comes on the scene, they will flock to him. They will adore him, because they will see he's the Messiah, come to bring peace on earth at last, but it's in the flesh. And then their eyes will be opened when he turns against Israel and makes a false covenant. You can see how this is preparing everything. This is why we battle. This is why we're swimming upstream against the current. So that we have God's discernment. We can see and discern and test the times that we live in. You see? All to maintain a true peace to the mind and heart and spirit. What does it say in Romans 9? Romans 9 and verse 8. 18. Romans 9 and verse 18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. So there we are. Some receive it and some don't. That is the sovereignty of God. Did you know that some can't enter that rest? It's not there. It's not given to them. If you have come to Christ, you received him as your Lord and Saviour, wonderfully born again of the Spirit above, that is because God has received you. He's called you into his presence. Not all have that. Let God be God. He knows. Now, that doesn't stop us from praying and believing for people and our loved ones and family. God knows those who will make it in. That's why we say those who stay with it, who endure to the end, will be saved. Clear signs, clear signs. But God knows. Finally, let's turn to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. This, in many ways, is dealing with fellowship, unity in the body. And here, where we take it up in verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with good godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. What is he referring to there? He's referring to the strife that goes on. You know, I see this online. I see the writings, what people write. And you see this today. As he says, they're obsessed with disputes, arguments over the word. Strife, envy, reviling, evil suspicions. And so it goes on. You see that. That goes on in churches. It goes on amongst those who call themselves Christians. You cannot have rest of soul and mind in situations like that. And it clearly reveals these people who are like that do not have it. A clear indication. When I see these arguments and disputes that go on, I say in my heart, they haven't got that rest, that peace. They're not in communication with God. They do not understand the Holy Spirit, who has come to teach us, lead us, and guide us. It's very clear, very evident, and you cannot grow, mature in environments like that. This is why God will deal with it in the house of God. We have to have the right environment, the right pastures, the peace, the rest. Christ is our head, so that we can grow and mature in unity and oneness by this. And we have to maintain it. We have to pray for this, because it's very important. Because the enemy's out to try and divide in any way he can, and he will always work through the emotions. Every time. That's why we have to be identified with Christ, with our cross daily, that crucifies the flesh, its lusts, its emotions, and so on. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Your soul and mine needs God's rest.